This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor, catching up with Michael Yon, at Michael underline Yon. When last we spoke to Michael, he was in Panama, at the southern border of Panama, at the Darien Gap, near a camp known as San Vicente, a large camp, a transition camp, from the jungles of Panama, from the bus ride from Quito to through Colombia, from where you arrive, where you depart from overseas, China or West Africa, or in many instances, just Venezuela. Michael, a very good day to you. The mystery at San Vicente is the fire that happened many weeks ago, at a fire that struck the part of the camp that was the offices, the supervision of the Panamanian border guards. And we didn't get resolved who set the fire, why the fire was set, what about the 40 or so migrants who were detained by the Panamanian authorities, what about the records that might have been destroyed in the fire. Since then, you tell me the camp has been closed. What do we know about the fire? Anything in addition? Good day to you, Michael.
Good day. One thing that we know about it is that, first of all, we had brought a lot of press to that facility over the months or over the years, actually, but especially in the last in the couple of weeks just preceding that fire, there had been a lot of press on that San Vicente camp, which we've started to call the Chic camp, the Chinese Hezbollah invasion camp, CHIC. Because that's exactly what it is. And one of the thing, one of the groups that we had been calling attention to is HIAS, HIAS.org. And we had specifically, you know, through time, I've been bringing a lot of attention to IOM, you know, the International Organization for Migration. It's a UN branch. And we had been bringing a lot of attention to Catholic Charities and the Lutherans and others. But there, I started focusing on HIAS for a couple of reasons. One is Secretary of Homeland Security, Ali Mayorkas, was a board member on HIAS. That's very important. He's a Cuban refugee. Both of his parents were Jewish. And so he was brought on as a board member to HIAS. HIAS is the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society. This is very important and why I lifted and shifted and started focusing on HIAS, because Mayorkas came to this camp, the one that had the fire. He came to it on April 18th, 2022. I was physically present when he came. I had waited 4 days. He came down on four U.S. Army Black Hawk helicopters, right? And I was there, and he came promising millions of dollars, about $18 million, I'm told, by the Panamanian government. And since that time, they've greatly built up the camp. Now, HIAS, of which Mayorkas used to be a board member, has a headquarters in Darien Province, Panama, just beside the camp, about 40 yards away from the front of the from the front gate, right? So about 40 yards away from the front gate is the HIAS, the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society headquarters, again, where Mayorkas was a board member until he became the chief of the Homeland Security, right? So he's now the chief, basically, invader of the U.S., is Mayorkas. So that's why I started focusing on HIAS. I took down Brett Weinstein down there with Ann Vandersteel and Masako Ganaha. We took them down. We took Brett Weinstein, Dr. Chris Martinson. We took Laura Loomer, Epoch Times. We took quite a few very serious people down there and brought millions and millions, tens of millions of views to what HIAS is doing. Now, that's caused a lot of people to be upset. They're saying, why don't you focus on Catholic Charities? We do. But Mayorkas was not a board member on Catholic Charities, and Catholic Charities does not have an office in Darien, to my knowledge. So the bottom line is what I'm getting to about the fire is it's very mysterious, because after, you know, we've been saying we know Hezbollah are coming through that camp. We know it. That is a fact. In fact, one was just arrested about less than 2 weeks ago at El Paso, who had, according to the Panamanian government, is Hezbollah and had just come through the Darien Gap, which means he came through HIAS helping him get through, period, full stop. I'm out there all the time. I spent about 6 months down in Panama looking at this since Biden was installed. That means if he came through the Darien Gap, HIAS 100% helped him. And so that's why now, why would those records be important that just got burned at San Vicente camp roughly 4 weeks ago on a Friday night? They were important because That's the records of everybody who's come through that camp, San Vicente Camp. Again, the one that we've been calling China Camp and now just started calling it China Hezbollah Invasion Camp. Because everybody who's come through there, there's records at that camp. So suddenly, after we brought huge attention to Hayes and others, there was a big riot in the camp, mysteriously. There's never been one before. And those records were clearly targeted, or it was a big coincidence that the records happened to be burned, but the rest of the camp wasn't burned. And so now, or they say they're burned, it would also have been easy to steal those records. Now, there would be numerous people with means and motive to do that. For instance, Iranians or others who pass through that camp daily would not want their, or the Chinese who have agents pass through there and people pass through 24/7. There are a lot of people that have means and motive to get rid of those records or to capture those records, including the U.S. government or Hayes or IOM, anybody else that would not want, you know, for instance, if there's a giant, say, terror attack in the United States, you would not want proof that somebody was helped by Hayes getting through that camp, right?
Michael, why did they close the camp? Because of the fire? What's the explanation for this camp was huge and growing and they needed it. Why close it?
Well, there were at least three Centerfront were very badly injured in that riot and whatever it was, the attack, and they want to make it more secure. So they're not closing it permanently. They're just remaking it, right? In fact, somebody's about to go take a look at it again for me in a couple of days, and I'll give you another update. But the camp itself is not the only one. So in other words, they can work around it. It'll just be with some difficulty for, you know, some of the people coming through will have to sleep on the ground and that sort of thing.
Did they close Los Blancos? Is that still open?
Oh, that one's wide open and growing. I mean, they're putting in a water treatment facility there. They're putting in, making it easier. And it's growing. All the camps are growing. In fact, they're adding at least three new camps.
And since you were last there, is there any change in the flow through the gap? Has it increased in any marked fashion? I don't mean day to day. I mean week to week. Is it larger now than it was a month ago?
Yeah, quarter over quarter, it's definitely growing. So we just look at it quarter over quarter because there's always this noise in the system. So it flattens out if you do it quarter over quarter. I'll need to get the latest statistics from Centerfront, which is the Panamanian very professional border patrol police, sort of police slash border patrol. And they're usually very forthcoming with the statistics. We'll get those statistics soon, but we know that it's growing. We can see that with our own eyes.
There were more than 40 migrants detained after the fire. Do you know what's happened to them?
I believe I haven't talked with Centerfront in a couple of weeks because I've been busy looking at the other flows coming through Bahamas, and now I'm up in Canada. And so looking at the same, Bahamas is another avenue. It's, as they say in the Bahamas, it's the third border to the United States, but Americans don't seem to know that. But and the Chinese have a big port there right off the Florida coast in the Bahamas, right? A very big container port. In any case, so I haven't been focused on Panama solely. Panama is one of my whistle stops that I go. I'll stay for a few weeks or a month or so, research, learn more, and then I move on to what's happening in Mexico or Netherlands, Japan, that sort of thing. And now I'm in Canada looking at the same. We've got the biggest border in the world is between Canada and the United States, and it's wide open.
All right. Michael Yon is in Canada. We're going to go there. Now that we've updated as best we can, the San Vicente camp is closed. Michael says the intention is to reopen it more secure. I don't know what that means. We'll have to see, because it consists of well-built trailers that are deployed for the immigrants, the migrants coming in overland to stay there for a few hours or a few days, and then they transition to buses that take them to Costa Rica and on their way north and through Mexico. And you will all recall that recently on 60 Minutes, just last week, in fact, the outgoing president of Mexico, the very popular AMLO, said he would not help the United States unless, and then he had a series of demands that were very unlikely, including $20 billion a year for Central America from the U.S. But the one thing he was adamant about is that the flow of refugees will continue through Mexico, and that if Texas tries to return them, he won't let it happen. So the migrants at the southern border are continuing to flow. There's no attempt right now to stop them. The various courts have spoken, and the president of Mexico says you can't push them back. Once they're in the U.S., we're not going to take them back. But we're going to Canada with Michael Yon. At Michael_Yon is where to find his reporting. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.